You're listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, episode number one.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hi, and welcome to episode one of Fit Chicks Chat. My name is Laura Jackson.
And I'm Amanda Quinn.
And we are known as the Fit Chicks. So who are we? Well, we are two chicks who are based out of Canada, and this is our first time podcasting, so we want you to bear with us as we might be all over the place. But we do have a lot of awesome information to share with you, so we're hoping you stay on with us. So what do? We run Canada's largest women's only fitness company. We also have a DVD line. We run weekend-long retreats, and we're also founders of Fit Chicks Academy, which is an online certification program for fitness and wellness professionals. But really, our main passion is all about getting women inspired, pumped, and motivated to live their best lives through being healthy. So that's what we want to cover in this podcast. It's going to be pretty much a general mix of all of our passions. So that's going to include fitness, it's going to include nutrition, wellness, business. Amanda, am I missing anything?
No, I think you got it all covered. Kind of just like a mishmash of like everything that we love and also everything that we talk about in our education program.
And I like the way you say that mishmash, almost like a mashup. So we're launching off our first podcast today with really kind of going through an introduction of who we are, just so you kind of know who the heck you're even listening to. We also want to talk about something that's pretty close to our hearts, and that is the fitness industry. And not necessarily how much we love the fitness industry, but we want to go through kind of our top three, pet peeves.
Yeah, or like frustrations or things that kind of stand out to us that we're kind of like, you know, not sure if I'm vibing with that.
And these are the things I think that a lot of people don't see from the outside, but when you're in the fitness industry, we want to really share with you kind of what really bugs us about it. But we don't like to keep things on the negative. So we're also going to talk about where we see hope, because there is a lot of potential for change within the fitness industry, but it starts with recognizing it. And we also want to talk about some things that you can start doing immediately to break this cycle that the fitness industry has created for us. Basically dictating to women how we're supposed to feel about our bodies, and we're just not having that anymore. So we want to give you some things that you can start doing immediately to help end this vicious cycle. And then we also want to talk about why we created this podcast. So what is our goal through all of this? Again, like I said, it might be a little bit all over the place, but we have a real mission here, and we really want to help you guys as much as possible to live your best lives. So with that, Amanda, why don't you start off? I feel like I've been talking forever about giving a little introduction as to who we are.
Okay, well, let me take it back, like way back, all the way back to grade 9. I'm aging us a little bit because I'm saying way back.
But this is why we like podcasts, because no one can see what you look like. And I think your voice sounds very young.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
It's all the yoga.
It's definitely all the yoga. But yeah, so who we are, well, basically Laura and I are besties. We met in grade 9 way back in the day, and we met actually at school. I always think it was an art class, but for some reason, Laura, you seem to think it was science class. But either way, we met, and when we met, it was just like, we knew instantly that we were supposed to be best friends because I really liked her new shoes, and
I liked your barrettes.
Oh, it was my barrettes? I'm like, I thought it was my drawing
yes.
skills.
No, that's why you think art class, because you are obsessed with the idea that you draw a really good chicken, but it was your barrettes. You had these really cool, funky hair barrettes.
True. But as a side note, don't you find it interesting how way back in the day, the only thing I used to draw was chickens, and now we own a company called Fit Chicks?
Oh, I actually never even put that together. That is actually very strange.
It's like I was like seeing into our future. I don't know. Anyways.
I think we're going to actually have to put a picture of your chicken on our Facebook page or on our blog, because honestly, people need to see this version of a chicken, as you call it. It's hilarious.
I'll draw one again for you, I promise. Okay, but now I'm totally going off topic. But basically, we met in grade 9. We became best friends. We were totally just like inseparable from pretty much like day one. Like we just maintained this amazing friendship. And we went through a lot of ups and downs as we were growing up. Basically, you know, we, you know, went through like the spells of smoking because we thought it was cool and like drinking at a young age, eating crappy food, not taking care of ourselves. We didn't really know how to take care of ourselves either. So we were doing like weird yo-yo diets and like, you know, all these different techniques, like just stuff that was so unhealthy and so like unnecessary. And so as we were going through that stuff together, it was kind of like we were also trying to figure out our path. And I still remember we were 15 years old and we used to take the bus together. And this was our first experience ever sort of opening our eyes to fitness, which was when we went to our very first yoga class together. And we were 15. We used to take a bus. And this was before like yoga studios were like the hot thing. And we would take it and go to this guy's house where he taught yoga up in his attic.
And creepy.
No, but it was like, it was so cool. And like, I loved it so much. But the funny part was back in the day, like we were 15. So we didn't really understand it at that point. We just kind of went because we were like, oh, let's try this yoga thing. And because we were curious and we still have curious minds and try everything. But back then it was more about the curiosity of what this is. But we were so like weirded out about this yoga that like we literally would show up late for every class because he would start off with breathing exercises and we thought it was like hilarious. Just like all the naughty breathing and stuff like that. And it's funny now to me to look back, you know, but in the moment we were just like, whoa, this is weird, but we stuck with it. And we totally went like every week and we loved it. Obviously I loved it since I became a certified yoga teacher. But yeah, so it sort of started there. That was kind of like our first introduction. And then from there, we started going to the gym together. We started trying to get healthy, but we really weren't doing it in a way that was effective. But we were also young and we were trying to figure it out. Then, you know, went through different parts of our lives, you know, earlier stages of careers, working. I was working at the Toronto International Film Festival. And Laura was working at Hilton Hotels. And, you know, we both had like these great corporate jobs, but we were starting to fall victim to that whole like 9 to 5 working and then getting into like, I went to, you know, a lot of events and things like that. You're eating unhealthy. You're not really taking care of yourself. You're having drinks after work. You're doing all this stuff, which is super fun. And you feel like you're really living your life. But we always kind of felt like, wasn't necessarily living our life. We were almost like cheating ourselves from the life that we could have because we weren't being healthy and we weren't able to like do the things that we wanted to do. At least that's how I felt. And
well, the one thing I found too during that time was it was just so go, go, go. And my anxiety levels on top of just how like, you know, my weight at that point, you know, my highest weight, I almost reached 200 pounds. And it was just a vicious cycle of, you know, yo-yo dieting plus lifestyle plus, you know, emotional stuff that couldn't be processed. And it just felt like you were in Groundhog Day all the time of this you know, nasty cycle.
Totally. And like we were just kind of like trying everything possible, like on the side to try to get fit, but we really just still weren't like fully aware of what that was and what we could do to make it makes sense. And then eventually we just started really just figuring it out together. I mean, that's, I guess, when we lived together, Laura, and we just both were like, okay, we're on a mission and we're going to get fit and we're going to get healthy. And, you know, we stopped with the casual smoking, closet smoking that we'd only smoke in our house.
Hope my mom's not listening to this.
And like, you know, really like took advantage of like everything that was out there and started trying different things and, you know, really going to different classes, trying to learn as much as possible, you focusing a lot more on the nutrition side, making me, you know, try your recipes and your different meals that you would make me. They were really good though.
It's always good when you live together. It's a lot easier to start a business with somebody when you live together because you have like permanent testing grounds. It's like 3 in the morning. I'm like, eat this vegan brownie and tell me what you think.
But yeah, but I think, you know, that's sort of like Wow, that was a lot of information about just like who we are or back in the day. But I guess, you know, that kind of like everything just sort of came together and it evolved. And eventually one day we decided, I remember we were sitting in our living room just chatting, well, at the dining room table, and we were like, you know, we should just start a company. What are we going to call it? Like, we have to start a company that we can inspire other women, because there's obviously other women out there, or hopefully there's other women out there that were feeling the same way that we were, which was like kind of lost in the fitness world, kind of trying to figure out where to go to make sure that you're getting the right workout, that you're getting the right information, and that you're not really focused on just, you know, getting a six pack. You're really more focused on being healthy and, you know, changing your life and your lifestyle and things like that. So that's sort of where Fit Chicks kind of came in.
And I think that's a really important thing, because I think a lot of people out there really feel that way. I mean, when we started Fit Chicks, there was not a program out there that was what we were looking for. And I think that's a lot of ways that people start businesses or get into health or fitness. They're looking for something that they can't find, so they kind of create their own regime. You know, and we were looking for something that was, like you said, not about six pack abs, but that was challenging and super inclusive and really about women power, because a lot of the workouts that were actually challenging were pretty much for men only. And we always say we were kind of like in the middle between CrossFit and curves, because on one end you have kind of a certain style of workout that people think are for women only. And then you have this other extreme side, but there's a whole area in between. So in this big long way of saying, that's pretty much how we started Fit Chicks, and we grew it from 7 women to a nationwide program. So now we are based out of Canada and we have 20 locations across Canada. And like I said, we do our retreats and we have our DVDs, and now we've branched out into education with our Fit Chicks Academy and our Fitness and Nutrition Expert program, because we really believe that there is so many women out there who want to be involved in health and fitness, whether it be take part in it for themselves or to actually instruct it to other people, but they don't feel like they fit in. And I think this kind of really ties into why we want to talk about the top three things that frustrate us with the current state of the fitness industry, because I think that these are barriers that are holding people back from either getting healthy or from, you know, getting into the field. And a lot of people are missing out on great trainers because they're feeling too intimidated to even try to enter it.
Totally. And I really like the word barriers that you just said, because I do feel like, you know, the way that we approach fitness and the way that we approach health and the way that we're trying to see it is like about breaking down the barriers of like, you have to look a certain way to be in this industry, or you have to, you know, be, you know, a certain way in order to teach a certain thing. And like, I don't know, like there's so much, like, it's almost like there's credentials out there that like kind of like put you in a box. Like, you have to be one way or the other in order to be a part of this. And really, you just have to show up and be yourself and try your best and do what makes you happy. And that's sort of, I think, what we're trying to portray, is that, like, you know, you can be healthy, you can be happy, you can be involved in your community, in yourself, in your own life, in your own health, but you just have to go for it and try it. And you don't have to worry about fitting into this box of like, oh, well, you know, I'm not coordinated, so I can't do Zumba. Well, I'm definitely not coordinated, but I still like Zumba.
And you rock it. And you rock it at every retreat we have.
I do stay close to the corner, but I do but like it.
Like what you said, you know, there's this state of, there's almost like these credentials that other people are putting out there that aren't, you know, aren't real credentials. They're not credentials from an actual like certified fitness.
Yeah, you're not like a bona fide, like, I'm a bona fide, like, no, but I yoga student, you know, yeah. Like, you don't have to be like, you don't have to be amazing. You don't have to be flexible to do yoga. You don't have to be coordinated to do Zumba. You just have to love it and show up and love yourself enough to try it.
But I do think that one of the biggest problems, and this is one, I'm going to start off with my number one top thing that frustrates me with the current state of the fitness industry, is social media. And that's what I was trying to tie back to what you were saying about credentials. Because I feel like there's so many people now on social media, and don't get me wrong, I think social media is a great thing. It gives people a platform to talk about a lot of important issues that they probably wouldn't have if not. But I also think it can be a super dangerous thing, because, you know, now we've got images of these fitness models, if that's even what they call themselves, who have millions of followers, who a lot of these followers are young girls, and this is their only exposure to fitness, and they're thinking these people have the credentials to be talking about the things they're talking about, which a lot of times they don't. I'm not saying everyone does, some of them do, but a lot of times they don't. And also, like, I don't know about the Instagram accounts that you're looking at, but the ones that I look at, they're so over-sexified. Like, I don't know if I'm looking at porn or if I'm looking at a fitness account. Like, I'm like, how much up your butt crack do I need to see? Like, it's insane.
It's so true though, right? And like social media, it's not only like the, I guess that side of it that it really frustrates me, but it's also the way that social media is being used now, like with the thigh gap, that whole like thing about thigh gaps and how that was such a big thing. And like people were taking pictures of their thigh gaps and posting it and stuff like that. And it was like, if you don't have one, you're fat. And it's like, no, you're just built differently. Like everybody is different. It has nothing to do with it. Or the new one that really scared me, which was about, it was a one that teenagers were posting that was like the belly button challenge. And it was like, if you can't wrap your arm around your back and then around your body to cover your belly button with that hand, you're fat. And I was like,
what is that?
That's scary is what it is.
It is scary.
It's terrifying to me, you know, being someone right now in my life who's like thinking of having a baby. Oh my gosh. I said that out loud. But you know, thinking about like bringing like children up in this day and age is like an amazing thing because there's so much like technology and so many changes. And I really want to, you know, I mean, my goal is to have children that'll be like game changers in this, in their lifetimes. But you know, at the same time, I have so many fears. And one of the fears is just like, how are they going to get through all of this? Like if this is, I feel like this is almost like just the beginning in the sense of like what's going to happen unless we take a stand and unless we really start putting different people out there, like the Tess Holidays, who is like this plus size lingerie and well, plus size model who also does lingerie and swimsuits and is really sort of changing the face of like what a plus size and even the word plus size model. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's just, she's a model.
She's a model. I know. Yeah, like why do we need to categorize it? Why do you
exactly,
need to be
she's a model. Yeah, exactly. She's a model. She's beautiful. And she's really putting it out there as, you know, you can be beautiful at any stage in your life. And you don't have to be a certain way to be a model, you know, or like there's so many people out there that are starting to shift that image, which I really like, but I just really hope that we have enough time and enough support and enough of like, enough's enough, I guess, is of like that whole taking a stand and being like, you know what, we're not going to like keep posting our thigh gaps and we're not going to keep posting this crap because all it's doing is tainting our image of what we are and then affecting all of these young girls growing up, looking at that and feeling so much more pressure than we've even had to feel as we were growing up. And that was like a lot, but can you imagine now in this day and age? Like I can't even imagine. Like it's crazy.
No, I mean, I get sucked into it too. Even I'll be looking at my Instagram and next thing you know, I'm like going down the rabbit hole of like, either I'm driving myself crazy because I'm being so angry because I'm looking at all these fitness experts who, you know, are selling tons of programs to young girls and ideals that aren't real. Like, you know, I don't know about you, but if you've ever taken an Instagram picture, it takes a lot of work to get to your like slimmest looking, fittest looking position for your body. Like you're basically in a pretzel.
I don't take them.
You're basically like in a backbend pretzel. And if you probably took about 160 pictures to get the one that you're posting. But people think that that's how they walk around every day. You know, I always say, and especially at our retreats, we talk a lot about, you know, social media and that. And I always say, you know, don't compare yourself to somebody else's highlight reel because that's all it is. It's somebody else's highlight reel.
For sure.
But even though we're talking about that social media being one of our biggest frustrations, I like the fact that, you know, there is a lot of things that are positive and we always like to look at the hope side too. Mm-hmm. I do think that, you know, even though there are a lot of negative portrayals on social media, like you were saying, like the thigh gap and that belly button thing, which I hadn't heard about and I can't even handle. The other thing I heard about was people eating cotton balls. There was something else too. It's a diet. And then people were hashtagging about eating cotton balls. I'm like, oh my gosh. But I just also think there is now, it also gives a platform though for a lot of other body shapes to be shown. you know, and like you were saying, Tess Holliday. And also even for me, like someone I really like, who I think is kind of being a big game changer is Ronda Rousey. You know, people have their opinions on being a fighter or not. I just like the fact that she portrays being strong, and she, you know, she talks about her body as for what it does, about being a machine and for its muscle and for its strength, as opposed to worrying about what she looks like in a dress. You know what I mean? Like she positions her body as the machine it is. And you don't have to be Ronda Rousey to appreciate your body in that same way. I mean, your body carries you around all day long. It picks up your kids. It gets you to and from work. Like we treat our bodies so terribly, almost like it's a separate entity from our minds. And really, I believe it is, but you've got to, you know, we always talk about the mind-body connection. You've got to put the two together and appreciate the body for what it does. And the body has to appreciate the mind for what it does. But yeah, definitely. Like I just think that there's a lot in terms of, you know, there's a real movement in showing different types of women and appreciating body shapes in different ways. Like, I don't know, you know, have you seen the new Barbies?
Yeah, no, I love them. I think it's so great that they're finally like, you know, jumping into this century and saying like, you know what, we're going to make them be realistic. Because isn't it that if a real human had the same dimensions as an actual like Barbie, like if that was like portrayed in like real human form, that they wouldn't be able to stand up? Is that true? I remember hearing that.
I think so, because before even her foot used to be so arched to slip into a heel. they just like a couple years ago, they revamped her to have flat feet, but
there's nothing wrong with big arches though. I've got gigantic.
I guess I'm the opposite side. My feet are so flat. If I wear a heel, I can't walk for 4 days after, but,
no, I could never, mine is so big that I could never fit into the, remember the back in the day, those sock boots, the like honey high boots that were like socks and you just pull them on. My arch was actually too big to ever pull on. If I didn't have a zipper, it ain't happening. It's so embarrassing.
But no, like, so I was looking at those Barbies and I have two nieces who are 8 years old. And, you know, I think having kids around who are in that age group, they're coming out up in those ages of exposure. It becomes so much more of a, not a big deal to me, but a reality to me. But I was looking at these Barbies. I'm thinking, oh, it's so cool because they're going to see all these different shapes. Like there's 7 different skin tones. There's like 24 different hair colors and eye colors. And then they've got 3 different options. You can get a curvy one or a petite or a tall. So, you know, even for me growing up being dark hair and blue eyes, like I never looked like a Barbie. You're a redhead and, you know, with freckles and green eyes. Like, so, and you think looking back, like, did I really compare myself to a Barbie? But we really had nothing else to compare ourselves to. We just always thought that that was the beautiful look. And I remember you mentioning to me about Ken, and now, you know, they're thinking about redoing Ken, which I think they should do too.
Well, I don't know if they're thinking about redoing Ken, but I saw that there was a petition online for a men's group that was basically saying, okay, cool, you're going to redo Barbie. What about Ken? Because that's really not a portrayal. And then of course I heard on the radio, there was some radio host that kind of made a joke about it. And this, I just thought it was funny. I don't believe it, but I thought it was funny when he's like, okay, so what are they going to make the Ken dolls? Like, you know, with a beer belly or like one with a balding or whatever. Like he was obviously joking around.
But to someone, that's their Ken, right?
100%. No, 100%. I think that he was just, you know, he was taking it to an extreme, obviously, but for entertainment purposes. But I mean, I do think that, you know, they should make them, they don't have to have like, you know, the exact like chiseled jawline and all that stuff that like the Ken doll has. They should make different variations, different skin tones, different sizes, different heights. I mean, it should match. Like whatever we are getting from a female perspective should match from a male perspective too, for sure.
I totally agree. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was our number one, was social media.
Yeah.
I love how we're just talking about all the things that bug us.
No, but we're also talking about solutions and how we can fix or change the perspective.
Oh, completely. And I think, I don't know, and especially working in the fitness industry, like these things really get under your skin because you work so hard to try to get your clients motivated and feel like pumped and comfortable in their skin. And you're fighting against all of these other outside sources. And so it's, you know, I think it's a good conversation to have. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the second thing on our top three list, and this is, I know for both of us, it's these extreme weight loss shows. and all of these extreme weight loss cures. Let's talk about the shows first.
Okay. Well, I think, I mean, one of the biggest things that I have with the shows is that, you know, they're always portraying that it's like, it's a quick fix, or you just have to work harder, but it's this unrealistic thing. So back a few years ago, Laura and I actually went to the Biggest Loser Ranch out in Utah, and we did the program that was considered to be sort of what they do on the show, The Biggest Loser. And we went there basically just to check it out, you know, see what it was about, but also for research purposes, like for so many different reasons, because we were curious. And, you know, when we were there, it was intense. It was like 8 hours of working out a day, 1200 calorie a day diet. It had unlimited salad bar at lunch and dinner, which we would like gorge on. So obviously,
oh my God, I never ate so many vegetables in my life. I was so hungry.
Whenever I saw those pickles on the salad bar, I was like, one, seven pickles. Don't anybody else eat them. But when we were there, it was an intense program. And so, of course, like on those shows, if you're doing that type of program, 100%, you are going to lose weight. Like if you're eating 1200 calories and working out for 8 hours a day, you're going to lose weight 100%. But the problem that I have with it is the unrealistic expectation that it creates once you're living your real life. So, you know, I know that the purpose of programs like that or shows like that is to kind of give you tools to then go back home and learn from and use those tools in your everyday life. So you learn how to eat better. You learn how to work out. You learn how to exercise properly so you don't cause injury. Those kinds of things. Amazing. That's fantastic. But it's the unrealistic expectation that you put on yourself as to, you know, I remember somebody speaking to me at the retreat saying, you know, when I go home, when I go to the movies, I'm not going to eat popcorn. I'm going to bring celery with me. I'm going to eat celery at it. And I was like, no, you probably won't. Like maybe you will, but if you're being realistic, like you'll either do that and you'll hate it, or you won't do that, or you'll just never go to the movies again and maybe that's one thing you really love, but because it's like you're changing something to make it so extreme. Does that make sense? Like it's almost like taking something and making it a little bit too, like going too over the top. And I think, I don't know, I get just like a little bit frustrated with those shows because I think that it's putting perspective as to like people think, okay, well, if I can just quit my job and work out for 8 hours a day and do all these things, then I can change my life. But
exactly. It's another almost quick fix, but they're showing it in an extreme way in a sense. Like, and also, you know, your body is not meant to exercise that much. Like
we were so tired.
When we went to the Biggest Loser Ranch, we were on our heart rate monitors. We were burning about 6,500 calories a day. We were working out, you know, pretty much for, I don't even know, 7 hours a day.
But yeah, it was like 8 hours.
Yeah, your body, and especially for women, especially for hormonal health, you cannot be exercising that much in a day because your body will break down. And that's
no recovery, no nothing. We were exhausted.
Well, yeah, any type of itis, you know, which itis basically is inflammation. So, you know, tendonitis, arthritis, all of those things, it's inflammation. It's so crazy how many people, like, especially on these extreme weight loss shows, are like chronic inflammation after doing this because you're putting your body through things it's not supposed to. And again, it's not a long-term cure.
It's not something that you can maintain for the rest of your life. And I mean, you can maintain a healthy lifestyle after from all the tools, but you won't be able to work out 8 hours a day. Like we have to live our lives still. And so when they leave those shows, like I know that they do try to prepare them for everyday life after, but then I just worry about the whole idea of creating a sense of like almost defeat. Like if they get home and now they're used to losing like 5 to 10 pounds a week at the show or on this, you know, set or whatever the case may be. And then they get home and they're living their normal life and they're still doing great and maintaining this healthy lifestyle, but maybe they're only seeing the scale move a pound a week. Is that creating then a feeling of defeat?
Oh, completely. You know? And I think, and I totally agree with you because I think the biggest thing is not the physical transformation, it's the emotional transformation. And when you have been in a situation where you've created a structured habit for yourself for that amount of time, to get out of that, you're kind of like, you don't know what to do. And that's where this whole, you know what I mean, the diet cycle comes on, where people lose 100 pounds, gain 100 pounds, because as soon as you take off that structure of the location or of the program or of the time frame, you're like almost like, oh my God, you don't know how to function. And it's human nature just to go batshit crazy and do whatever you want. Like,
yeah.
Even for me, like I did a fitness competition. So it was a 12-week competition. And for, it's called different things in the States and in Canada, but for us, it's basically like a bikini. It's baby bodybuilding almost. It's the first level of bodybuilding. So I went through 12 weeks where I was extremely structured, and people ask me all the time about, you know, oh my God, would you do it again? And I always say, I don't know, because I don't like saying no to things, because your life changes and thing you want, you may want change down the road, but I am very wary. And the advice I give anyone who's wanting to go into it is that A, make sure your coach is someone who's going to be with you throughout not only the entire journey, but has a reverse diet and a reverse emotional plan for you after you've gone through 12 weeks of being so regimented. Because a lot of times you end up giving yourself an eating disorder. You know, you come from, you're so restrictive during those times. You're labeling foods as good. You're labeling foods as bad. You're only eating a certain amount of calories, that as soon as you step off that plan, like an iota, you feel bad about yourself and you feel like a failure. And next thing you know, you're going, you know, completely crazy. And that's why there's a lot of girls who come out of these competitions who end up with eating disorders or gaining a ton of weight or ruining their metabolisms because they don't have the proper exit strategy. So that's why I think whether it's, and there's a huge rise in fitness competitions now too, as this, you know, totally cool thing to do. And it's the same with, you know, CrossFit or anything that's extreme. And it's not, I don't have a problem with the athleticism of it, but I just don't think it's for, there's some things that aren't for the mainstream. There's certain people who, you know, this may be for them, like, you know, competing in CrossFit competitions or competing in bodybuilding. But I think in general, when we're getting these things in the mainstream though, we're showing it to people and people are thinking that, oh, I can look like that, like by just doing my everyday workout kind of thing, or I have to do all of those things to look like that. I don't know if I'm making sense here, but really what I mean is like, there's a difference between training for fit for actual athletics and aesthetics. So if you want to look a certain way, you have to train a certain way. If you want to work, like, you know, build a certain amount of muscle,
be able to lift or be able to, you know, do a sport. I understand what you mean. I think that's what you mean, right? Like,
yeah, like
if it's more functional based or if it's more aesthetic based, depending on what it is, your end goal is, you're going to have to train in a very different way. So you have to understand that.
And I just feel like we need to kind of get rid of all of these things of thinking that there's a certain place where you're going to be happy. Like whenever I talk about my fitness competition, I always bring up the story about how I always wanted a six pack and I had like created this six pack as like my golden jewel beacon of happiness, that one day when I had a six pack, I would be happy and the rest of my life would be, everything would fall into place. And then I did it and I got the six pack and I was no happier than I was before. And it was almost like, you know, a big slap in the face, but at the same time, a big wake up call that I was like, okay, Laura, you know this stuff. Like now I knew it in my heart too. I'm like,
so a six pack does not equal happiness.
No, it does not at all.
Note to self.
It does not. But I do think that there is a lot of positivity coming out right now. And I do think there's a lot more, you know, we're seeing a lot more of these like anti like dieting commercials and focusing more on performance as opposed to like what you look like.
For sure. Definitely. I mean, even the people that I follow, like on different social media channels and stuff, it's mostly, I don't really have like in my feed a lot of like the Instagram, like models and stuff. I follow a lot of like athletes and I just watch, like, I'm more fascinated by their skill and their abilities and their strength, and a lot of yogis that I follow. And it's just, it's like the strength that they have to, like, you know, as you know, Laura, my obsession is to be able to do handstands and then eventually a one-handed handstand. So I have this one girl that I follow that's just like, she just does one-handed handstands like it's like brushing her teeth. And I'm so obsessed with it. I'm so obsessed with her. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like one day. And it's actually funny because I did my yoga training with her when back in the day. So I know her, but I'm like totally obsessed with her. One day I'm going to do a workshop with her to figure out what her secret is. Mm-hmm. I think her secret is just practice.
But I think we all have like an inner, like, you know, even when we talk about with fit chicks, like we all, women have a fit chick inside of them. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you are, you know, 100 pounds overweight or if you're in the best shape of your life. Everyone has a fit chick And that we just have a different definition of what that is. And I just think being active on the day to day is the first step that most people just really need to take in the direction of being healthy. Not even worrying about getting to the gym every day, but just starting walking every day.
Yeah, just
we
moving.
Sit so much. Like they're saying that the sitting is the new smoking. That's how terrible it is for your health.
That's crazy. But it's true. Think about it. Like on date, like there's some days I have a pedometer on my phone that I keep with me at all times. And when I first moved to the new city, like when I was just like getting my house set up and trying to get my life sort of organized and stuff like that, I look back because it tracks the whole year of all of my steps. And like when I look back to that, every day was like under 1,000 steps. And I was like, this is sad. Like, this is a sad case. Now, every day I'm like above 10,000, above 10,000, but I make a conscious effort. It's not like, you know, and I know life happens. So you're going to have times where you're busy and you just can't fit certain things into, you know, your schedule and whatnot. But like, just even trying to, you know, I make a daily effort to be like, oh, I have to go to the post office. I'm going to get up an extra hour early and walk to the post office today so that I can listen to a podcast, open up my brain, expand my thoughts and mind, and then also get some steps in. And you know what I mean? Like it does take planning and it does take effort, but it's worth the effort in the end.
And that's just it. It's the biggest thing is definitely like having that goal and getting moving every day. And that's why we always say 10,000 steps. And I know that's been kind of, it's kind of the standard across all fitness industry is kind of saying 10,000 steps because that equals 5 miles walked or
about 500 calories.
Yeah, 500 calories burned. So,
and just think if you're doing that on top of your workouts, it's like, boom, there's your results. Like it's going to happen.
And I think time is, and when we even sent out a questionnaire about this podcast being like, you know, what do you guys want us to share with you strategies on, you know, and today we're kind of talking about some different topics that we believe in, but we're really going to move forward in future podcasts talking about real strategies that you guys can apply. But time, there's something that someone said to me once and I found it really interesting. They said, when you say I don't have time, really what you're saying is this is not a priority to me.
For sure.
You know, you make time to go to work. You make time to eat your dinner. You make time. So what you're saying is, you know, my health is not a priority to me. And you have to be okay with saying to other people, my health is a priority to me. And for women, we find that really hard because I think there's a lot of guilt associated with putting ourselves first, especially if you're a mom. But you have to put your health first to be a better mom. So I think even before we get into some strategies of making more time in future podcasts, just start thinking about that comment even right now. You know, when you next time you say, I don't have time, try to flip the script and say, you know, it's not a priority to me, and then see how you feel about it.
I was going to say, try saying out loud, my health is not a priority to me. Say that out loud to yourself and see how that makes you feel. Because if it makes you feel kind of like gross, then maybe you need to like find the time. You need to figure out a way to fit it in somehow. Even if it's like 10 minutes that you just like squat your ass off while you're making dinner.
Get that blood pumping.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last of our top three things we're talking about today that frustrate us with the current state of our fitness industry. We were talking about the whole idea, and Amanda and I talk about this stuff a lot. We'll have a meeting. We just go off on these tangents sometimes, but is the whole idea of discount fitness. And this is kind of one of a holler out to our fellow fitness professionals who this is, you know, something that's really bad for our industry that we work in, but also it's so bad for anyone who takes part in fitness.
Well, hold on a second. I wouldn't say that it's totally bad for anybody who takes part in fitness. Like if you're going into a gym, that's like, you know, what is the new chain, the Fit for Less or something like that, where it's like $10. Like if you know what you're doing and you're skilled enough to build your own plan of attack in the gym and you can do that, I think that's great. I think discounted fitness in that aspect is really great. But I think when it comes to fitness, like, you know, join a fitness class for $1, like here's 6 weeks of Zumba for 99 cents kind of thing. And those kinds of like opportunities are really, those I believe are dangerous because those are dangerous for you as a client and as a consumer because A, who's instructing it? Are they even certified? What's going on in that class? Are you just going to be in a sea of people because, oh my gosh, it's like $1. I'm going to buy, like, me and my 100 friends are all going to buy it. We're all going to go together. And now, so you have this dangerous aspect because you don't have somebody watching your form. You don't have somebody paying attention to what it is that you're doing. You can be lost in the crowd. You can be sort of tucked in the back corner. Nobody knows what's going on with you. And you could be doing something completely wrong and like hurt yourself. So I do think from that perspective, 100%, I agree that it can be dangerous.
Well, and I also, and when we're talking about mostly discount fitness, we're really talking about, you know, a lot of these like the Groupon sites and Buytopia and all these things that are, you know, they do have a lot of reputable companies on there. We're not saying they don't, but it's, you know, they really opened it up to having, you know, Bob's Bootcamp. And I don't know if there is an actual Bob's Bootcamp, so I'm just disagreeing right now. I'm sorry, Bob. I'm not talking about you specifically.
XYZ Bootcamp.
Yeah. XYZ Bootcamp. You know, it just suddenly pops up and they're offering, you know, high intensity intervals and strength training and drills that you could hurt yourself if you don't have proper instruction and support, but you know, they're able to do it because they have a vehicle to sell it through these Groupon sites. And you know, you just try it out because you think it's a deal. So it's more of a line of do your homework and make sure that you know which company is providing this.
For sure.
The other thing that just bugs me about it too, is I find that a lot of times too, if you sign up for, you know, a certain type of certain programs, and if you're new to fitness and you don't have a good experience, it really deters you from coming back. And that's where that, you know, for Fit Chicks, we're super huge on, you know, even with our trainers, how we train them on even how to talk to their chicks. That's what we call our clients, our chicks. You know, they know everybody's name and how to create the right environment and all.
We also have like a maximum, we have a cap on our classes. We don't allow more than 20 people in a class. And we do that for a reason. It's not because we're trying to be mean and be like, no, we're sold out. You can't get into our exclusive club. It's more about the idea that at 20 people with one trainer present, moving around the space, correcting form, that's enough. Anything more than that, plus some of the spaces that we use, cannot handle more than 20 people in order for to give you the most effective workout and to give our clients the most, you know, to make them feel like they're not like A, claustrophobic, or B, going to step on someone else. Like there's nothing more frustrating, I find, than going into a class and you feel like literally every time you turn, you're going to bump into someone. Or like in a yoga class, I'm sorry, I love yoga, as you know, but like when I go to a class and it's so jammed that like the person next to me on both sides are like both sweating on me and on my mat, and I can see their sweat dripping on my mat. I'm like a bit of a germaphobe. I'm better now. I wouldn't say I'm extreme anymore. I used to be extreme. But it's like, it makes me feel crazy. Crazy to the point where once I actually had to leave the class. I actually rolled up my mat.
That's gross. I gotta go.
I can't handle it anymore. I can't handle feet in my face, sweat on my mat. It's just, I'm done. I'm like, yeah. You know, because it's just, that's not what I paid for. That's not the experience that I paid for. And then after that, I mean, because I'm a devoted sort of yoga practitioner, like I obviously went back, but if I was new to that, that might've been like my last time.
Oh, completely. Completely. And I mean, we've talked about a lot about the things that frustrate us. So what do you think that the industry needs to do to change this stuff? Like, how are we going to change all this? How are we going to change, you know, this social media overload? And how are we going to change, you know, being inundated by these extreme weight loss shows and then all these discount fitness places that are giving us these crappy experiences that are turning
bad names and creating a bad rep for everybody else? I would say the first thing that we need to do is just stop focusing on weight loss. Like in the fitness industry, it's just like what we do with Fit Chicks. We're about being healthy, being fierce, being strong. That's what we focus on. That's what we personally are about. We're not about losing weight. We're not about, you know, oh, like you're going to look great in your bikini bod, because like everybody looks fabulous. If you think you look fabulous, because confidence is key, right? And as long as you're taking care of yourself and being healthy, that's what's important. So as long as we can shift that, I think that that's like our number one step that we need to do.
Totally. Because I think that weight loss, like losing weight, is a byproduct of living healthy. It should never be the focus of it. It is a byproduct. And when you start to, you know, flip the script in your mind around how you think about exercise, like if you go into the gym and say, I'm going to the gym because I want to lose weight, how motivated do you feel? Like, you know what I mean? Like really, it's like, it becomes a negative mindset. You're like, oh, and then if you feel you're not losing weight fast enough or whatever it is, then you get discouraged. But if you go to the gym and think like, I'm going to go crush this workout because I love my body and I want to get strong, it takes the focus away from being, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I didn't lose that weight. Like it's, I don't know. I don't even know.
It's funny. Cause like, I haven't even weighed myself. I think the last time I weighed myself was when somebody in class, when I was teaching, she was like in disbelief. Like she was like, oh my gosh, like weighed herself. And she's like, I'm so sad. I weigh so much. And I was like, you don't weigh a lot. Like I probably weigh more than you. And she's like, no way. And I'm like, guaranteed. And I weighed myself for her just to make her feel better. But that was the last time I've ever weighed myself. And that was like 4 years ago. I have no idea how much I weigh and I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that like one day I'll be able to do a one-handed handstand.
Yeah. And that's one of the best things that I always say to people too, is set performance goals. Don't set weight loss goals.
Yeah.
You know, set, I want to be able to do 5 pull-ups on the pull-up bar and use that as your motivation and your target to work towards, not I need to lose 5 pounds because it's brutal.
For sure.
I also agree with too, like what the industry needs to change is what we were talking about earlier, is just keep on showing all these different body types. And
highlight them.
Yeah, like showing these new Barbies of all different colors and shapes and sizes and celebrating I know EPSN or is it ESPN? I can't remember which one it is. Anyways, they did the magazine, the body magazine last year and they had Amanda.
Oh, with all the athletes. Yeah, they do it every year.
Yeah, but usually they showcase, you know, that it's kind of a little bit sexified, I find. And this year I just loved it because they had Amanda Bingson on and she's a U.S. track and field star. She does the hammer throw, which is crazy. And she's, you know, 207 pounds at 5'6". She's thick and muscular and, you know, she's self-proclaimed dense. Like that's the way she looks at her body. She's like, I don't look at myself as fat. I look at myself as dense because I'm packed full of muscle. Yeah. And I just love that they were celebrating her in this naked picture as, again, a different body type. And the more we see all different types of bodies, the less we're going to want to, you know, covet being skinny. We're going to say, you're going to find something that relates to you. And I think that's so important, especially for young girls. Because not everyone wants to grow up and wear, you know, just look like a size 2 in a bikini. Some girls are like, yeah, I love muscle. Like I want to be jacked like a superhero. Like,
yeah, no, for sure. I agree with you 100%. I also think that the other thing that we need to do is just to start. And I do think I see more of this now in the media, but is just promoting more movement, like what we were talking about. Like there's a lot of, I've seen a lot of stuff like workplace programs and things like that are happening, which is all about like the 10,000 steps a day, which I think is phenomenal. Like I think it's amazing that communities and workplaces and companies are actually going out there and being like, okay, we're going to do this together. Or like they do the 5K, couch to 5K. A lot of workplaces are doing that as well. So they're starting to integrate this a little bit more into their messaging in workplaces. And you also see the media, but I think that having, you know, that sort of as a message where it's like, you know, don't worry about like going to the gym and being angry about having to go to the gym. Find something that you love to do. Find something that makes you move. Like if dancing's your thing, maybe you join Zumba. Maybe you don't even join Zumba. Maybe you just dance at home. You turn on music and you literally dance your pants off for an hour. Like whatever it is that's going to make you move, start doing it, but start doing it more often.
Completely. Because all the fitness industry does is like throw programs at you. They tell you if you do this program, then you're going to be fit. Like that's what I find. All their marketing is like, you know, and we made a very conscious choice when we started Fit Chicks that we would never market to women's insecurities. So we never say things like, you know, lose 10 pounds in 10 days or, you know, do you want to get rid of that muffin top? Like crap like that, that just feeds this stupid cycle of self-loathing, which does nothing for anybody.
Right.
You know, I just think that the fitness industry, they need to start, because the thing is prevention doesn't make money, right? It's like in any industry, like any diseases or no one focus. They focus always, they talk about the cure. Like, how are we going to cure this? Well, how are we going to prevent it? Mm-hmm. Why don't we start talking about how we can prevent it before we even have to deal with it as a problem? So, you know, that's where
I think. Oh, Laura, preach.
Oh, yeah. I'm on a roll today. But it just, like, this is the stuff that fires me up, though. And, in like, you know, you and I know this from working in this, like, industry, and we're fighting a lot of different battles that people don't know about. Like, you know, from the way that people think about what fitness professionals should be like to the way that, you know, even women think about themselves. Like, every day you're trying to help someone live a better life by changing the way they think, because it all starts with mindset. But I just think, you know, if our industry would help that and help focus on preventing, instead of saying like, okay, you know, you've got a muffin top, let's help you lose it now with this program. Well, why don't we just start talking about movement and getting people moving and active?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So we've been going on
as you can know.
Okay. So now for our listeners, if they're still listening to us, they're probably thinking, gosh, these girls can talk.
We get really passionate. We're sorry. Yeah.
What are some things that someone who's listening could start doing right now to stop this cycle? So we're saying, yes, fitness industry, you're doing these bad things. But what can somebody do who's listening at home that they can actually start to help in the solution?
So I think, you know, number one would be celebrate your body and body positivity and your health. Like, just change your mindset. Get involved in what it is that's important to you for your health. Take back your power and change it. Like, you know, change the mindset of the losing weight. Change the mindset of like, I look fat today. Like, talk to yourself in a positive way. It totally, I know it sounds like all hokey, like, you know, or as my dad says, hippy dippy, when you're like talking positive, like self affirmations and things like that, but they really do make a big difference. If you're waking up every day and you're like, ugh, I feel fat. Ugh, I feel fat. And that's all you're programming your brain to think and feel. That's all you're going to continue to have. But if you change it and you're like, I feel amazing. Today's going to be an amazing day. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I'm excited. And I'm going to do something really great for myself. And you change that mentality to becoming a positive, everything else will start falling into place. So that is my number one. Like, do that now. Like, right now, no more negative self-talk, just positive. Love your body, love the skin you're in, and work on ways to add things to your life and to be healthy and get rid of the whole negative stuff.
What I like doing, and sometimes I do this with some of my chicks, is I do like a 3-day check yourself challenge. So just for 3 days, be really aware of the words you use. So every time you start to say something like, oh, I feel fat today, like, check yourself right away and switch it. So almost like when we were talking about, you know, the same thing earlier about, I don't have time, you know, try for the next couple of days to switch that to, this is not a priority for me. For the next 3 days, you know, every time you try to say something negative about yourself, catch it and switch it right away to like, okay, I'm going to do something positive for my body today. I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to eat good food because I love myself, not because I feel like I'm depriving myself because I want to lose weight.
Not because I'm on a diet, it sucks.
No, you should want to eat good because you want that fuel and feel fierce.
And also because it feeds your brain.
Oh, completely. Like,
that's one thing. Let's talk about that after.
Yeah, and that's one thing that we're going to get into.
We'll get into that.
In future podcasts, because, you know, my background is in holistic nutrition. Amanda's is in yoga. We both have fitness backgrounds. So we're going to be giving you, and business backgrounds. So we're going to be giving you a whole, you know, every show is going to be completely different as to what topics we're coming to you with.
But it'll be a little more focused too.
And if you want to talk about, and if anyone's listening wants to ask us any questions, just go to our Facebook page or follow us. It's at FitChicks. Our Facebook page is at FitChicks Bootcamp. But Twitter, Instagram, at FitChicks. And like, drop us a line, leave us questions, because we'd love to know what you guys want to learn more about. Mm-hmm. But one thing I also think that you can start doing right away and going back to the social media is unplug. So the more we consume, the more we're perpetuating the problem that the fitness industry is creating. So the more that we like take in all this BS that they're putting out, we're just basically giving them, putting more fuel to the fire. And by just doing like a 3-day social media detox, do not go on Facebook, do not go on Instagram, unless you want to send us a question. Do not go on Twitter. Like, just don't look at anything else and see how different you feel about yourself when you're not inundated with feelings of what you should feel about yourself.
I remember this time when, Laura, when you and I went to Thailand, and I just want to tell our listeners this really quickly, but when we went to Thailand, we were in Thailand backpacking for close to a month, and we were just like traveling around, but the whole time we were there, we had no cell phones and no television, except for one day. Remember that day? I remember it like it was yesterday. We were staying at the Hilton because we were backpacking. We were flashpackers because we were like staying at like hostels, and then we spent a couple days at the Hilton because that's when Laura worked at the Hilton, so we got good deals. So that's amazing. Would go back and forth. So we'd be like, hostel, nice shower at the Hilton, hostel, nice shower at the Hilton. But when we were at the Hilton the one time, I remember we turned on the TV and it was the first time we had actually like connected to anything outside of just like nature and each other and just like what was happening in our moments every day. And I still remember it was the day that Britney Spears shaved her head and like went like just went off a little bit. And we were like, what's happening? Oh my gosh.
And Heath Ledger had died.
Yeah. So we shut the TV off. We're like, you know what? This is overwhelming. And it's funny how just being disconnected for the period of time that we were made us feel so at peace and so comfortable and so happy and joyous. And as soon as we turned it on, it pulled us away and brought in like this overwhelming feeling of like, oh, like this is an outside thing that's happening. It doesn't really affect my day-to-day life, but it's really affecting me right now. And so it was just like really eye-opening when you think about it from that perspective. So if you kind of just, you know, give yourself like, whether it's unplug for a few days or whether it's give yourself a maximum that you allow every day, like really filter yourself a little bit more because we're becoming so reliant on it. And I think it will really help change it. Like I barely use social media. And
well, when you can use that time to be moving, or you can download a podcast and listen to that while you go on a walk.
Exactly. That's all I do.
And I always like to kind of follow the rule to create before you consume, because we are a society of consumption. And that's even like when it comes to food, like you create your food before you consume it. So it's kind of my little way of saying like, don't go out and eat fast food because you're not creating it before you consume it. Create before you consume. And it's the same with business. You know, before you open your email and start surfing all these websites, don't even do that. Start creating your own work and your own, whatever you're putting out into the world, and then consume later on, but always create before you consume. Yeah. And then the last thing that someone listening that I would say that they could do right away to really stop this cycle. And this actually, I first heard about this when I watched the documentary Food Matters, which is a really great documentary if you've never watched it. But they talk about voting with your dollars. So every time that, you know, you buy a certain type of food, you're either saying yes to the company that produces it and what they believe in, or you are saying, no, I don't want to be a part of that. And it's huge, especially when, you know, now there's so many, you know, GMO companies, like genetically modified organisms, that's what a GMO is, they're like that are producing foods and so many chemicals in foods, that if you stop buying their products, they're going to have to make changes because they need your money. So they will be forced to make changes for the better. And it's the same with fitness. You are voting with your dollars. So every time you spend money at a company that's promoting self-loathing or negative body image, or, you know, these crappy quick fixes or those waist trainers, like all of this shit that's out there, and that's really all it is shit. When you purchase that, you're saying that you believe in that too. And that's where we have to be conscious of that. So by not buying these things and not buying these $4.99 10-day detoxes or whatever it is, then you're saying, no, I'm not putting up with that crap. And I think that's the biggest thing you can do. So just stop supporting it. Vote with your dollars. Okay.
All right.
So we got a little hot and heavy today, a little passionate. But we just wanted to quickly end with what we want, we wanted to let you know to expect from this podcast. So today was a little over, but you can kind of get a feel for what we're about, and hopefully it speaks to you and the things that we're saying speaks to you. Cause we obviously know that not every podcast is for everybody, and we want to find something that connects to you, but we're going to have a weekly episode. And there's going to be a variety. So every single time we're going to be talking about different topics, and it's going to be either from fitness or nutrition or wellness, or it could be business and life coaching and life strategies, because all of these things go together. It's not just, you can't just have a silo of, you know, fitness and you're not paying attention to your nutrition, or, you know, you're doing wellness, but you don't have any life strategies. Like they all go hand in hand. So we're going to be talking about all of these things. We like to say it's real life strategies to go from being in a funk to fierce. We're also going to be answering questions and addressing different topics that are going on right now that affect you and that affect us. We're also going to do some cool guest appearances and interviews. I'm excited for those.
Totally. They're going to be so fun.
We get to be like Barbara Walters. Ooh, ooh. And then also we want to hear from you guys. So if you're listening to this, and again, like I said, if you have any questions or if you have anything you want to hear about or you want to learn more about, then definitely.
Or any comments even. Yeah, if you comments. Want to share your opinion.
Check us out at fitchicks.ca. That's our website, www.fitchicks.ca. That's also fitchicks.ca. At Fitchicks is also our Instagram and our Twitter, and at Fitchicks Bootcamp is our Facebook. So let's wrap this bad boy up. And we always like to end on a high note. So let's end with a little bit of gratitude, because we always like to think about what we're thankful for. So Amanda, what's your gratitude today?
Today, I'm just grateful to have a platform where I can share my opinion and be able to hopefully make some sort of an impact, whether it be on one person or 10 people or 1,000 people, whether it just, you know, touches somebody in some way or another. I'm really grateful for that. And I'm also grateful for the sort of idea that, you know, I get to work with my best friend on a company that I love and I'm so passionate about every day.
Aww.
True story.
Aww, warm and fuzzy. Well, I'm grateful for two things today. Number one is that my grocery store lowered the prices on cauliflowers.
Excellent.
Yes, because we live in Canada and our produce has been insanely expensive because we are in the middle of winter. So I'm going to make a really sweet cauliflower rice dish tonight, which I will share with you as well, Amanda. and secondly, I am grateful for, I was going to say you as well. I'm just grateful for somebody who I get to work with, who is amazing, but also who has so much to offer and so much to share and inspire other people. And I really believe you are the company you keep. So if I'm judged by the company I keep, then I'm pretty freaking fabulous.
Oh, it's a good thing this is a podcast and not a video. People might see me cry.
People might also see that I have not brushed my hair today. That's part of being a fitness professional. Okay, so until next time, we will talk to you soon.
Okay, bye everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.